It is with a great joy that I'm coming to you today and simply saying, to God be the glory. But finally, book number 4 has been finished. It has taken me approximately 3 years to complete this book, which deals with the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the will of God. This is John S. Turrell, and I'm speaking for the European American Evangelistic Crusades, and I'm delighted to be able to welcome you to our 4th study course in English. I am hoping that most of you listening to my voice today have already been through courses 1, 2, and 3, because this book builds upon the previous courses. Well, let's do as we always have done. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you and bless you right now for this privilege of being able to complete a work that you have laid upon my heart now for more than 3 years. And I pray, Father, for an anointing upon this particular lesson, but also in all the lessons that would follow in this study book. And I thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit anointing that will be with me and that would help me to teach the Word of God in such a way that people shall rejoice and be set free in the truth. Thank you, Lord. We just praise you and bless you and thank you right now for this. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, let's turn to page number 1 in our study book of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And in lesson 42, which is our first lesson in this study course, I want to share with you today how you can understand the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, I believe that this is extremely important for you and me to be able to really understand what we do have in the Holy Spirit. Every Christian that has been baptized in the Holy Spirit has a spiritual gift. Now, I am assuming that you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, because if you have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, then this entire book will not even make sense for you. And if that is the case, I would simply refer you back to our first study book on the Holy Spirit so you can get that into your heart. Now, the questions that we want to talk about here now is this. Must a person be baptized in the Holy Spirit before you can receive your gifts? Well, my personal understanding of the Bible is simply this. That there might be seeds, as we're going to talk about, and traces of your basic motivational gifts. But I do not believe that any believer in Christ can really begin to manifest the power of God in your life until you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, where do I base this upon as far as Scripture is concerned? Well, let's thank you for a moment. Matter of fact, in the outlines you have from the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 4 through 5 and 8. And I'm going to read that to you in just a moment. But think about it this way. The apostles, they were 12 to begin with, but only 11 made it through, so to say, because Judas never believed. And the other, a total of 120 persons, as you find in the book of Acts, chapter 2. They had been with Jesus for 3 years. They had been commissioned to cast out demons, to heal the sick, and to preach Jesus Christ to the nation of Israel. And yet, in the book of Acts, chapter 1, Jesus tells them, I don't want you to leave Jerusalem. I want you to stay here until you have received the power that I talked about. Well, let's read it. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said he, you've heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. No bones about it. Jesus said, you stay in Jerusalem until you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and then you will display the power that I'm talking to you about. Now, this can easily be seen, for example, in the Apostle Peter. Now, the Apostle Peter, he was a big mouth, but he was also a coward. And he denied Jesus 3 times when he was pressed. He lied without even blinking an eye. But the moment after the day of Pentecost, which simply means 50 days after Easter, that he had been baptized in the Holy Spirit, a new boldness, a new power, a new strength came over him, and he went out and faced the very crowd that had scared him to death. And he simply said, you men that crucified Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he is risen. Now that is a change of attitudes, that is a change of outlook, that is a total change in all ways around. Now you gotta understand this. When you were born physically, you possessed certain natural abilities. When you were born again spiritually, you received certain spiritual abilities as a member of the body of Christ. And this gift, or these gifts, will be brought forth in power through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Notice that it is through the empowering of the Holy Spirit that these gifts can operate. Without the Holy Spirit, there is no manifestation of these gifts. Now, you have the right to disagree with me. But before you disagree, make sure that you have really prayed and read the Bible so that you will know what we are talking about. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 and 11, Paul teaches us, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. But all these work that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every believer to profit. But the Holy Spirit is the controller. He is the one that is controlling it. And he will never let go of this control, and praise God for that. In Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8, which is actually our basic text for this entire lesson and a beginning outline for what we are teaching, Paul says, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teaches on teaching, or he that exhorts on exhortation, he that gives, let him do it with simplicity, he that rules with diligence, he that shows mercy with cheerfulness." Now, every one of us have a different kind of gift. And I want us today to really begin to examine what these gifts are, how they are manifested, and in this study book, we're going to learn how you can differentiate them and bring them out and bring you into the very, very fullness of Jesus Christ. Now, I have brought this forth before, and again I will mention it, that the Bible teaches us very clearly that God knew us before our physical birth, and when he created our souls, he created them uniquely with the qualities needed to carry out God's purposes. I want to give you three Bible references in this area. And let's simply start in Isaiah, the book of Isaiah. And we're going to look in chapter 49, that's Isaiah, chapter 49, verse number 1. Listen to what the prophet says. "Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, you people from far. The Lord has called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother has he made mention of my name." In Galatians, which is in the New Testament, and I might be going too fast for you here, but I'm going to turn to Galatians chapter 1, verse number 15, the Apostle Paul says the following: "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace." But the fullness of this teaching is found in Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 5 and 10. I'm just bringing these two verses out. You can read the whole thing. Now, here's what God simply told the prophet Jeremiah. "Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you. And I ordained you a prophet unto the nations. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, and to destroy, and to throw down, to build and to plant." It is extremely important now that you come to understand that you are not an accident. This is what the world would like to teach us, that we are nothing but an accident. This is not the truth. Every living person, or every person that ever has lived on this earth, has been very carefully created by God, selected to be born at a certain time and in a certain nation, and to selected parents. Now you think about that. You might simply sit there and say, "Well, I'm just a housewife. I'm young. I'm middle aged." Maybe you're saying, "Well, I'm up in my 60s. Life is over. I got one foot in the grave. What do I have to give?" Well, you see, many of us have not come into the calling of God, the final calling of God. And of course, we're going to be dealing with that too in detail in this chapter. But let me read to you what he says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 3 and 4. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Now that is the purpose of God. You see, before God even started the very creation, His mind is so superior, that the mind of God is so vast that we, you and I, cannot even begin to understand it. We just can't begin to understand it. Not even with our supercomputers today can we even come close to begin to do some of the figuring that God can do in a split of a second. And yet, the computers that man has been able now to make are nothing but copies of our brains. Because every one of us got a physical computer. And yet the Bible says that my ways are not your ways, and as far as the heaven is above the earth, so much higher are my thoughts. But I want you now to understand that before God even started the very creation, this is mind-boggling, He knew every human being that ever was going to be created. He knew us by name. He had counted every hair on our heads. He knew the time, our parents, our sincerity, our strength. And He simply says, I want them all to be saved, but God knows in advance who will say no and who will say yes. It is not that He selects it. It is just that He knows in advance the choice we will make. And He has designed us accordingly. Most likely, if you are listening to this Bible study course today, you are a saved person. You have received Christ. And let's look upon Ephesians 1, 11 through 12, when you will now begin to see what this really means. Paul says, in whom, that's in Christ, also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. Now that is wonderful news. I don't care if you got arthritis. I don't care if you've had all kind of operations and you might be sitting in a wheelchair right now with no future as far as man is concerned. I would simply say to God, all things are possible. And we are more kept captive by our emotions and circumstances than anything else. The moment you begin to really believe in God and begin to rise above your circumstance and emotions, then God can begin to do a healing and bring out the very gifts that He wants to use for His service on this earth. Now, many believers in Christ have no knowledge of this wonderful truth from God. And they have a hard time to have a proper image of themselves. You must come to understand that the Bible says that you are a joint heir with Jesus Christ. In Romans 8:17, Paul says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. What does it mean to be a joint heir with Jesus Christ? It simply means that all things all things that Jesus has belongs to you and me. Listen to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 6 through 7. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in order that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness with us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works that any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. What a promise. What a tremendous promise we have. We have been created in the image of Christ, seated with him right now in heavenly places. Now that really ought to send you rejoicing in Christ Jesus. And in Ephesians 4:13, Paul continues, till we all come in a unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. There it is. This is your calling. This is my calling. And I can see you sitting there right now, feeling, some of you are feeling defeated. You got pain in your stomach, pain in your heart, arthritis in your body, all kind of different things. And you simply says, Brother John, it will never work in my life. Well, as long as you have that attitude, that's exactly right. Because Jesus said, according to your faith, so be it to you. The very reason I can come to you today and share this is simply because I believe in God, and God has made all these things possible. Now, I want you to notice one thing. Natural ability may indicate the emerging of a spiritual gift for you. Most likely, you have some natural abilities that to a low degree are the basis for a spiritual gift that God has for you. Now, if you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you probably have certain things already operating within you. The problem is, you just don't know yet exactly what it is. Notice one thing now. This is just an introduction. We're going to talk about this in detail. So don't get discouraged right now saying, oh, I wish you would tell me more about it in detail. Listen, you and I are going to spend about 16 hours together in this book. I'm going to be talking to you for 16 hours, and we're going to do a lot of sharing together. Now, on page 2, notice there will be joy when we exercise our gifts. If you really want to have the joy of the Lord to really begin to come out in your life, then start to exercise your gifts. Let us look in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse number 10. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portion unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be you sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. We are battling in the United States and in the Western world today depression like I have never before seen it in my life. And I have really come to learn that the joy of the Lord is my only strength. The joy of the Lord is the only thing that gives me strength. Now, the New Testament was originally written in the Greek language, and the Greek word for spiritual gift is charisma, which literally translated means grace, favor, kindness. Now, this word is used in the original Greek text in 1 Corinthians 7:7. And charisma is derived from the root word chara, which means joy. And charis means grace, and thus we can see that this Greek word family is pointed us to what grace and joy, which is what God wants us to have. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And this should be the trademark of spirit-filled believers in Christ, joyous and filled with the power. Paul says in Colossians 1:9-11, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with a knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness." Extremely important. Now, I want you to know something. You will never find total fulfillment until you develop your spiritual gift. Now, that's right. Now, you might try to substitute for something else. And that's where a lot of people are trying to travel. They think, well, if I do this, if I do that, you know, it will bring me fulfillment. Final, total fulfillment is when you and I are functioning according to the design of God our Father. Let's look in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 5. John 15, 1 through 5. Jesus said, "I'm the true vine, and my Father is a husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that he may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same bring forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." All right. God has designed us to bear fruit. We are designed not only to bear fruit, but also to exercise our spiritual gifts. Have you noticed how useless many Christians live their lives? Absolutely useless. No purpose. They are eating, sleeping, going to work, going to church, killing time. There was a time in my life when I had to kill time. When I would sit around and say, "Oh, what are we going to do now to kill this time? I got too much time." But since I've been saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, and God is helping me to function, I don't have any time to kill. Time is the most precious thing that I do have. And now I can really begin to do what God wants me to do. The ultimate aim in your life should be to be in the center of God's flow. Now, some of you might be sitting and thinking, well, I'm not called to be a preacher, and I'm not called to be a missionary, and I don't know if all of this would work or not, and blah, blah, blah. You have all kind of excuses. Listen, as we're going to be talking about, God has many, many, many different callings and jobs. And we have to find our slot in the kingdom of God. You got to be in the timing and the anointing of God. We dealt with it in lesson 30. And in the will of God, toward the end of this book, we're going to deal with it more. If you are obedient, then God can really begin to carry out His plan in your life. Another thing, too, that is extremely important is that you get to know that each gift is designed to perfect or complete the body of Christ. And if you're looking in your study book, I'm on page number 3 right now. In Ephesians 4, 7 through 12, we read the following. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gifts. Therefore it is said, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended to lower parts of the earth? He who descended is he who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And his gifts were that some should be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipment or perfecting of the saints, for building up the body of Christ. Paul teaches us here and also in Corinthians that the body of Christ or the believers in Christ, we are like a human body. There's a lot of teaching going around today where people simply says, well, we got to tear down all denominations and destroy all structures. No man should be another man's teacher. We don't need any teachers. We should just be doing the thing of God. Now, what they are saying is they are proclaiming spiritual anarchy, and God has never said that we should have spiritual anarchy. If you look upon a human body, you find, for example, that each cell has been designed very careful to do a certain job. And the billions and billions of cells that make up one human body, together, they have a purpose. But the moment a cell is separated from a body, it dies. It has no more purpose. You take, for example, white blood cells that are flowing in a human being's bloodstream. They are designed for one purpose, to protect the body against outside attacks. And they do that by being rushed. If you get a hole in the skin or you puncture it, you bleed, whatever it is, the white blood cells are speeded to that area. And they throw themselves into the open area. And they put a protective layer, and they devour the germs and the bacteria. They eat them, but as they do that, they also die. These cells give their lives in order that the entire body can continue to live, because if we got an infection that will not be stopped, then the entire body will die. Now, that's what you and I should understand. We are team members in the body of Christ. None of us are living for ourselves. None of us are dying for ourselves. We have been designed that with our gift, we will do that job that has been designed just for you, just for me, so that the overall body of Christ will benefit. And that's why, for example, me coming to you today, I am sharing with you, that's one of my jobs, is teaching and clarifying the truth of God, the Word of God, so that you can receive it and have a revelation in your heart and then use it so that your gift can be manifested. God is not a cruel God. And He is not simply doing it like this where He would simply say, well, now, I'm giving them these gifts, but I'm not going to tell them what they are. I'm going to let them be in the dark. That's not God. God wants each one of us to know and understand our gift. On page 4, we have a passage from Colossians 1, 9 through 11. Let me read that. It starts at the bottom of page 3. For this cause, Paul says, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Paul simply said, now, I am praying and praying and praying again that you will be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, in order for you and me to really be successful in our earthly ministry, you and I have to know our shortcomings and also our abilities. Now, there are many, many people that simply say, look, man, I don't want to know my shortcomings. I don't really want to know what my problem is. I don't want to face it. And these people are never going to come into the fullness of God. In order for you to be successful in your spiritual walk with Christ, you must have come to an understanding who you are and what you need. Matter of fact, the entire course number 3 in our series of Christian Dynamics dealt with that very issue, to see ourselves as God sees us, to find ourselves, and to be honest enough to view ourselves and to be willing to change. You must also learn to respect other believers in Christ and the gifts that God has given unto them. It used to be 15, 20 years ago, or something like that, that anyone with a college degree would look down upon a person that had a job that was, let's say, for example, a regular job at a factory or anything like this. But as we now are moving into a time of unemployment and hardship, our attitude has changed. We no longer worry about if we are emptying garbage, or if we are standing in a factory, or what we're doing. Nowadays, people have come to the position where they are thankful just to have a job. And people are beginning to respect each other now in a different way. And how important that is, that you and I respect each other in Christ Jesus, and we are not knocking each other. On page number 4 now, with this as an introduction and a background, I'd now like to begin to share with you that the Bible divides spiritual gifts into 3 categories. And let's read 1 Corinthians 12:1 and 4-6, and then we will discuss it. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be uninformed. Now there are a varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of working, but it's the same God who inspires them all in every one. Now, let's look upon this now. As you look on page number 4 and you see this laid out, I believe that this will help you to understand the calling. First of all, we have classes of gifts. We call them motivations, and they come from the Greek charismaton, motivations. Now, what is a motivation? It is the basic inward drive which God places in each believing Christ to express His love. Now, you that are listening to my voice today, there is at least one basic motivational drive in your life that overshadows anything else. And that thing is the basic motivational gift that we're going to look upon a little later that God has given you. The second thing is administrations or ministries. And this comes from the Greek word diakonion. And it simply is the opportunities of Christian service which are open to us for the exercise of our basic motivation. Now, you have a basic motivational gift, then God will give you a ministry. He will give you some kind of an office through which you can use that basic motivational gift. And thirdly, we have operations or manifestations, which simply come from a Greek energema, which is a word we derive our energy from. And the operations is the actual result in the lives of those to whom we minister as determined by the Holy Spirit. So now we have motivation, we have ministries, and we have manifestations. All right, let me see if I can illustrate that for you right now so you can get a good grip of this. Now read the scriptures I'm giving you here, because I'm not reading every scripture on this tape. I'm simply trying to do some teaching, and you're going to have to do some scripture reading all by yourself. Let's say now that you have the basic motivational gift of declaring truth. So, this is an urging you, this is a motivational driving force to declare the truth at all times and at all cost, at any cost. Now, one day as you are worshiping the Lord, God opens the minister for you to bring forth a message from God. It can be in tongues. It can be in clear English, whatever language you're speaking. Now, as Joe is listening to this, he simply receives that truth from God, and that revelation makes it possible for him to be free in Christ, and as a result, he receives a healing in his body. Thus you can see that the basic motivational gift was used to activate you and to put you in your office or ministry, but the manifestation shows up in the receiver that is receiving your ministry. Many believers in Christ have concentrated almost entirely upon the manifestation, and instead of having the manifestation occur in the person receiving your ministry, we think that the manifestation should be in the vessel that is giving out the ministry. And that is ridiculous. That's why that the body of Christ has not really been able to get off the ground as God wants it to get off the ground, because we have simply concentrated on the manifestations. In 1 Peter chapter 4, as I'm turning to that, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 10, Peter says, "As every man hath received a gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." All right, let me see if I can illustrate that a little bit better yet. Now, God has given me, as I shared before with you, the basic motivational gift of teaching and declaring the truth. And as an office or an outlet, I have the ministry of a pastor and a Bible teacher. Now, if I would simply say, well, I kind of really enjoy this, and I will do a lot of studying and praying and seeking God, writing things and getting them prepared, but I would never let anyone else hear it. It will be useless. It will be absolutely useless. But now I am using the means of a tape recorder. And today, I am sitting here in front of my tape recorder, recording the teachings that I feel that God has given me. It's going on to a tape. That tape, then, we are using to make a master cassette. And then we reproduce them, ship them out, and now you are listening to my voice, hearing me speak to you from your cassette player, and thus you will find that my basic motivational gift through the office of a pastor and a teacher now can begin to manifest itself in you, because as you are looking upon this and learning, you can find your gifts and your purpose in life, and then you can go out and you can function as God wants you to function. That's what Paul says, that he rather speak 5 words with understanding and wisdom than 1,000 or whatever in tongues. Not knocking tongues now, because I believe in it, I practice it, and I believe it's very valid. But what I'm saying is, let us not concentrate on manifestations. Let's concentrate on getting the job done and to let our basic motivational gifts come forth and bear fruit. On page five now, as we look upon it, I will now give you a broad outline, and then in the next lesson, number 43, we're going to start digging into this and look upon them in detail. But let me just scan them with you now. Now, the Bible lists 7 basic motivations, and you have them in Romans 12:3-9. So I'm going to ask you to read Romans chapter 12, verses 3-9. You read that. Now, let's just scan it here as I have laid it out on page number 5. 7 basic motivational gifts. Number 1, declaring truth or prophecy. Secondly, serving or meeting practical needs. 3, teaching, clarifying and validating truth. 4, exhorting or stimulating faith. 5, giving above the tithe for the ongoing kingdom of God. 6, ruling or organizing and coordinating the Lord's work. And 7th, empathizing, which simply means showing mercy. Now, within these 7 basic motivational gifts, as found in Romans chapter 12, verses 3-9, you will fit. Now, you might have 1, you might have 2, there might be some overlap, but there will be a very distinct basic motivational gift that is yours. God has made you unique. Now, if you simply now begin to realize that you cannot be all things. When I started in ministry, I thought I can do everything. I thought I was going to have my hands into every pot. And then finally I learned, hey man, you're killing yourself. Instead, I have to learn to simply use the one office that really belongs to me. Let us now look upon the ministries or offices as found in 1 Corinthians 12:27-31 and also in Ephesians 4:11. First we have apostles, which simply means missionaries. Secondly, we got the office of prophets, which is a proclaimer of truth as given in prophecy. Thirdly, we have teachers, which simply are clarifiers and dividers of the Bible, which is the Word of God. And then, fourthly, we have workers of miracles. These are believers who have a special anointing by God to perform supernatural deeds to aid the body of Christ. Fifthly, we have healers. These are believers who have a special anointing of the Lord to heal people in need of physical, mental, or spiritual healing. And sixthly, helpers. Those who work out the physical needs that will arise in the body of Christ, from serving at the table to assisting the poor and the needy, also called deacons in the New Testament. Seventh, administrators. Believers who are running and taking care of the business portion of the body of Christ. Eighthly, speakers in various kinds of tongues, which is given to believers for delivering and interpreting messages from God. Ninthly, evangelists. And tenthly, pastors. Now, these are the ministries or the offices. Manifestations. We find them in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 11. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discernings of spirits, various kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Well, this lesson now, number 42, has simply been an introduction and a survey lesson to what we are going to do in course number 4. And I really pray now, and I'm going to ask you to do something. Before you go on to lesson 43 and 44 and so on, be sure that you really read through the scriptures that applies to lesson 42. Meditate, pray, and think it through so that you will be prepared as we're going to move in and look upon these different things in details. But it is so refreshing to know that you do not have to do everything in the kingdom of God. God called you to do one thing and one thing only, and that is to do your work, whatever that work may consist of. And if you do that, you will have no problems, no heartaches, no tears. Instead, you will find a tremendous satisfaction and blessing as you are coming into the very calling that God has upon your life. Well, let's not drag it out. Let's simply right now go to God in prayer and ask Him to clarify this for you and to give you inside revelations so that you may come to a personal Rhema understanding of the Word of God, and so that it will begin to function for you. So let's just pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You right now that You helped us now to finish the first lesson. And we thank You, Lord, that You're going to give us insights and revelations now. I pray for every man and woman, boy and girl, listening to my voice today, that, Father, as they hear the Word, read it in the study books, but most of all, read the Bible scripture verses, that they will receive a supernatural revelation that will open their eyes and help them to come into their calling. I want to thank You and bless You now, Lord, and I just praise You for things that You are doing in my life and in the life of my friends listening today. Thank You, Lord, and we praise You right now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, it's been good to be with you, and I'm looking forward now to meet you again in lesson number 43. God bless you.